have time to really go into great detail on the next question. This will probably be carried over to next week. But we have the question there on the screen, number two. In reprint 5950, paragraph 2, Elijah's smiting of the River Jordan pictures a mighty work yet to be accomplished in the very near future. What is or what was the smiting? Has it happened yet or is it still future? So this is kind of a Bible student favorite area, one of a number of questions which get discussed a great deal. But I don't think we've ever discussed it, at least not recently here at this meeting. The smiting of the Jordan. Is it past? Is it future? What is it? Who'd like to get us started on this question? First part of the question is, what is it? And certainly discussing that would no doubt be helpful in knowing whether it's happened yet or not. Okay, we've got a hand from Sister Margaret. Thank you, Sister Margaret. Over to you.
Specifically, but in the absence of other comments, I thought I would just refer to the very brief answers that Brother Russell gives in the question book. 664, what about the smiting of Jordan? And this was in 1916. Brother Russell's answer is, someone else will have to do this. And then on page 646, because this is a little passé, will the seventh volume be written before or after the smiting of the waters of Jordan by the antitypical Elijah? And then Brother Russell's answer on that is, there are certain things that we ought not to tell anyone, and amongst these are those things which we do not know. I know many brethren feel that the message, we generally see it as a message, I believe, a smiting message, particularly upon Christendom, and I believe perhaps it's right to say the majority of the brethren feel that the photodrama message did accomplish that, because there is also the thought that it's still a future message, which at this point I still see, but as long as there's going to be discussion, it'll be interesting to hear what's to be said. Over.
Thanks for getting us started there. Interesting to see that Brother Russell, if you look at all these comments together, it seems that he really wasn't sure. That 646 question book comment especially brings this out, that he didn't know. You remember the prophetic rule of interpretation is that prophecy is seldom understood until it has been fulfilled, or it's not understood sometimes even in the course of fulfillment. I'm not quoting that exactly the way it usually is stated, but I think the brethren are familiar with the concept. And we've got a hand from Brother Bud. Thank you, Brother Bud. Over to you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, there's an old adage, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. But I'll give you my take on this. It would seem to me that the River Jordan is the border of Israel. And oftentimes, passing over a border, a distinctive border like that, indicates a fixed date. You can fix a border by having a river. The last fixed date we have is 1914. And I like the thought that Pastor Russell spoke the message. And I believe the authority of the Elijah class is in the message that they preach. It was, see if I can get to the rest of my thought, and if not, I'll stop. The next thought is that if the church is to give an authoritative message at this time, it would have to be, in my mind, at least the equal of or greater than Pastor Russell and the Bible students did in his day. And frankly, I don't see that happening. Nor do I feel that the world deserves it. They had their chance. Pre-1914, they rejected the message, and the time of trouble came upon them. I don't think that they're going to get a second chance, any more than the Jews got a second chance at the First Advent. Well, brethren, that's how I look at the smiting of Jordan, and I realize there's many, many ways, and each will be right in their own mind. Over.
Sharing that, and you bring up what really is kind of a crucial point here, and that whether or not Brother Russell himself participated in this smiting work. And that's part of the struggle that I had always had in relation to this matter. And I've always felt that Brother Russell had to have a part in that work. Personally, I don't think that that necessarily rules out either viewpoint on this question, those who feel it's in the past, those who feel it's in the future. But we're going to reserve our comments primarily for next week. We've still got some more hands here, and we want to make sure that we get to everybody before we move into the testimony portion. From the Niabu family, on the previous question, we had a written comment Sister Sherelle put in. If there is a comment in Volume 6, that there are sisters and brothers which stand and wait who are very weak, and he brings to the attention of the elders that these may be members of the body of Christ. So perhaps the brethren remember that section. I think he talks about them as deemed. I don't remember the exact language, but that was a previous question. From Brother David Kirkham, he has a comment on the screen concerning the 4 points of time, and he has a hand. And this will be the last question we'll take on this, or the last comment we'll take on this question this evening. Over to you, Brother David.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll make it brief and save most of my comments for next week. But it seems to me with the smiting, we have an action that, of course, has a result. And to me, that indicates a point in time where something starts, and then there's process. And that's the way most of the symbols, most of the prophecies here in the end of the age have occurred. They represent processes over time. And so from when Pastor Russell wrote these comments and made these probably maybe suggestions, and some of them I think do point us in a good direction, we have to look at 87 plus years of history when examining this subject. And that's where I'm going to end my comment. Over.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Sorry, brethren. I heard that very well, Brother David, and we appreciate it very much. I had a technical problem here. My system locked up right after you finished speaking, and I tried to push the mic button, and it just froze until just now. Hopefully you're hearing me again. And I think it was an important comment, and I happen to be a very strong sentiment along the same lines that there is a process involved. And we hope we'll get to discuss that next week. So we thank you, brethren, for at least getting us started on this. And so we think perhaps maybe we've got something to think about for next week in respect to this question. I would like to suggest that possibly there's three possible answers here, or three possible viewpoints. There are those who feel that it is totally in the past, those who feel it's totally in the future, and there are those who feel that it is a process, and I happen to be one of those. So we'll look forward to a good discussion on this next week. So in the meantime, we'd like to transition over to our testimony portion. And bear with me here. We're trying to go back to our list here to make sure we didn't miss anything. Okay, hang on just a second, brethren. If you'll bear with me, I've got a technical problem here we have to take care of real quickly, just for 30 seconds. One, two, three. Actually, what we were trying to save the chat, and for some reason it just locked up our system, and so we're trying to clean up some of the loose ends here. So please bear with us. And we still have a number of good questions that are ahead of us, and we look forward to your discussion on these in the weeks to come. Okay, we've asked our brother David Kirkham if he would word a prayer to close our study and to open the testimony portion. This time we'll go back to brother David Kirkham.
One, two, three. Our dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We thank you, dear Father.
Thanks, dear brethren, for being here. We barely got started on the question concerning the smiting of Jordan last week. We're going to put that up on the screen again. Elijah's smiting of the River Jordan pictures a mighty work yet to be accomplished in the very near future. That's a quote from Refresh 5950. And it's a two-part question, and we want to kind of go back and start over on this in a sense. What is or was the smiting is the first part of that question. So we might want to have a brief explanation of what is the smiting of the Jordan, what was the smiting, and some scriptural background would probably be good. Start from a basic level on that. And has it happened yet, or is it still future as far as the fulfillment of that? So it might be good if we went back to the origins of this statement, this phrase, the smiting of the Jordan. I think we realize that the account is given in the book of 2 Kings, and the specific incident is in verse 8, so that's chapter 2. 2 Kings 2, 8 is where this incident is recorded. And that is, of course, as brethren remember, when Elijah and Elisha were walking together, and they had reached the fourth point in their journey. There were four cities that they went to, and they were standing at Jordan, and it was then that Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and so forth. And we've got a hand from Brother Joe, so we'll go over to you first, Brother Joe.
Testing, one, two, three. Yes, Brother Alan and friends, I'll give just a background of this. The other brethren can give some of the more details. But we know that the Church of God in the flesh is the antitype of Elijah. And Elijah's experiences typify the Church's experience throughout the Gospel age. And Elijah's closing experience typified the church's final experiences. On the day that Elijah was taken up, God sent him to four successive places, Gilead, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. And during the harvest of this age, the Lord, through his word, seems to send his people to four different points in time. And those points are 1874, 1878, 1881, and 1914. Now when Elijah and Elisha came to the Jordan, they stopped and talked. The church, too, has been talking since 1914. Then Elijah took his mantle, he wrapped it up together, and smote the Jordan. The waters parted, and they went across over dry sod. They were still talking. But then suddenly, on the other side, the chariot of fire appeared and separated them, and Elijah was taken away in the chariot by a whirlwind. What did the separation of the prophets indicate? Well, perhaps it was the separation of the little flock and the great company. The Lord will do the dividing of these two classes. Elijah's mantle seems to represent divine power operating through his elect. And our ward itself stands for truth and also for people, a division of the people through the right and proper dividing the truth. Now, Jordan also signifies trial, test, or judgment. And I would like to ask a question. Could this division possibly be the falling away of many after the pastor's death and became the JWs? One thing that's for certain, the great company class, as a class, will not be taken up in a chariot and whirlwind, but will be left behind, and they will go through a time of trouble. This is just the background on it, and the brethren can't give the further details. Over.
1, 2, 3. Thanks very much, Brother Joe, for getting us started on that, especially for the some of the basic concepts there, the four dates represented by the four places. And Brother Bud has put in a quote there from reprint 5824 in that respect. We might just mention briefly that the 2 Kings 2:14, which is already on the screen, is when Elisha repeated the smiting of the Jordan after Elijah had been taken. And that's actually another issue in some ways. But certainly we can include that in the discussion. There are two different incidents. The first time Elijah smote the Jordan, the second time Elisha smote the Jordan. And we've got a hand from Brother Jerry. Over to you, Brother Jerry.
Also, I didn't hear the previous comments, and I hope I'm not repeating things. However, I would just want to say that when it comes to matters looking ahead prophetically, there's a certain amount of reserve that I think that we should have. And brethren like to think about and get very definitive about smiting of Jordan and the deliverance of Elijah and the beheading of John the Baptist and the seven last plagues and all these things. And nevertheless, we also look backwards and say what has happened. So I'd like to say that I think that there may be some more to develop along these lines, but I would like to also look back and say this, that even though Brother Russell did speak about expectations future, I think that when we are in the midst of the Lord's work, sometimes it is very difficult to see the extent and impact of that fully. And I think that Brother Russell's witness message went worldwide, and particularly the photodrama, and it did have an impact among on the world. And I think we should never discount the power of truth when it comes to speaking the Lord's word. Even the photodrama still has its seeds growing after these many years. Now, I would say that Brother Russell gave us a clue that the smiting of Jordan represents judgment or dividing of peoples, which comes from the meaning of the word primarily, of the name Jordan. And the world indeed was divided during and after Brother Russell's death. The First World War, the two hemispheres of the world began a hot pursuit of two different endeavors in trying to achieve a kind of utopia at their own hands, socialism in the East and capitalism in the West. And this came largely because of enlightened people daring to seek new endeavors. Now, if this is so, if this was the smiting, then what has happened since we would parallel to the walking on together with Elijah and Elisha. If there is more to be seen in this, then we would rather expect the walking on afterwards would be a shorter event. But I guess I want to end my comments with something that Brother Russell said in the fourth volume, 1912 forward, when he was speaking about another expectation about the vitalization of the image. And he says, whether we can expect it to have more remains to be seen. So he was recounting some things that he saw and some things that he expected, but he left the matter to be seen. And that's rather where I hold this matter. Over.
Barry, we appreciate that. And we want to go back and look at some of the comments on the screen here also. 5824, there's a couple of comments there. The first one was just reiterating the four points and bringing to the last the end of the times of the Gentiles. And a further quote in 5824, we may not be too sure what is meant by this feature of the type. We are to remember, on the contrary, that Bible prophecies are rarely understood much in advance of their fulfillment. However, we think it is important in identifying what is the smiting of the Jordan to look not only at the possible fulfillment of this, but even on a more basic level. From reprint 5950, Brother Russell makes this comment. It's on the screen. The smiting of the waters will reveal the truth in respect to what is the real Church of Christ and what are the imitations, and the honest-minded terror class will be undeceived and cease to longer pretend that they are the Church of Christ. So the smiting of the Jordan seems to be a presentation of truth that causes a division amongst the people. But it is not just Bible students, but it is a division in the Christian world in general. Brother Russell, we believe, presented engaged as the real Church of Christ, and a suggestion has been made by some of the commentators already last week and this week that he had an important role to play in the smiting of the Jordan. I think that the truth that does the smiting is the truth from the writings of Brother Russell. Personally, I think that began in his day. But there are different opinions on this. The thought that the photodrama was a possible beginning of that is very appealing, but not everyone sees it that way. So we'll look for additional comments and thoughts on this. We've got a couple hands up there, which we appreciate. And we go next to Sister Linda Honecker.
I'm just reading the comment by Brother Russell that says, as Elijah did the smiting, so all those who belong to the Elijah class will have a share in it. Reprint 5988, paragraph 4. It's more of a question, and that's somehow that needs to help us put it into context time-wise. How, I'm wondering if we could say that there is some smiting that's happened, as you described, with the splitting of the Christian world, or where all of the Elijah class has had a share in it. And that's more of a question than anything. Over.
Mr. Linda, and that's a good question. And I think it would be important to understand whether Brother Russell there is speaking of strictly the Elijah class on this side of the veil or not, although it wouldn't matter a great deal, because after the resurrection of the sleeping saints in 1878, you have the saints on the other side working together with the saints on this side in certain ways. But if it, when it says all the Elijah class have to be included, theoretically that could mean that it won't be over until the church is gone. That could possibly fit the context also, that since 1878 and onward, you have all of the little flock on both sides of the veil engaged in kingdom work, and it still goes on. Okay, we'll see. Look for some more comments on this. We've got a hand from Brother Leon Millen. Over to you, Brother Leon.
Three. In this account it's been given by several of the brethren, the dates and 5772 gives the outline and a date of Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. But as for the smiting, personally, I feel that it has been smitten. And besides the photodrama of creation, the brethren traveling around the country with the photodrama and presenting the truth to the people. And then, not only that, at the same time, I have a photocopy of a front page of St. Paul Enterprise, December 5th, 1916. And it had two sermons of Brother Russell on the front page, also a sermon by Brother Barton, which were completed later in the few pages on in that newspaper. This type of truth being put forth on the front page of approximately 1,600 or 2,000 newspapers weekly, this had a tremendous awakening effect or smiting. And then I'd like to read the 11th verse of 2 Kings, the second chapter. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and departed them asunder. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind. What the scripture doesn't say is how long did they walk after the smiting took place. And so Brother Russell, I know, stated that he didn't do it, but he was too humble a person to say that I did it. If anything, he would refer to the studies in the scriptures and so on, that this is the Lord's work, not his. Over.
John, appreciate that. Personally, it's hard for me to imagine with the magnitude of the photodrama work and, the rest of Brother Russell's ministry, and especially in those closing years under his leadership. It's hard for me to imagine that he was not involved in the smiting work. I think I stated my opinion last week, but I'll state it again briefly. I think that the smiting is a process. And I believe that it began in Brother Russell's day. Let's see. There was some other comments here we want to get to. Brother Bud's been putting some good references on the screen. Another one from 5846. The mantle was in Elijah's hand when he smote the waters with it, so the church, it would seem, will use what is in their hand, the power and authority of the truth, the power of God in smiting the waters, the peoples. Do you think this has not yet taken place? Maybe a question in your minds. We think it has not as yet fully taken place. Do you not think that the photodrama creation has had a part in this? It may be. Will there be something more? We do not know. We rather think there is something more. We do not state this positively. And so, I don't know, it seems to me that we had to have a beginning. Brother Russell's seems to be stating here that, perhaps the photodrama had a part in that. I think it did. But that he also felt that there was something more. And so it may be that we still have a part in this work. And we'll look for some more comments on this before making any more personal remarks. Glad to have that hand from Brother Bud. Over to you, Brother Bud.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Excuse me. Well, there's several things that Brother Russell spoke of here that seemed to me to have had fulfillment since 1914. One of them is that Elijah class has gone on in a wilderness condition without a destination date. We haven't had a good date since 1914. We've had lots of dates, but we just haven't had a good one. So that, I think, has had a lengthy fulfillment here. The other one is, he said that he thought there'd be something more, but he didn't say what it was. We've had excellent witness activities since Brother Russell's death, and we've had some since the even under the judge for a while. It was reasonably okay. Went sour very quickly, however. But other groups have carried on, and so the world has never been without a witness. And today, this gets into our next question about modern methods. It's out there for anybody who wants to do a little searching and really, really interested in the Lord's presence or Bible chronology or what the Bible has to say about the signs of the times. Why, it's on numerous Bible student websites. The fact we don't get a lot of attention is not because the Lord's people haven't been doing anything. It's because there's very little interest in it. Well, I've rambled on. I just think that we've seen some pretty good fulfillments that Elijah's been in the wilderness without a good date, and we'll close there. Over.
Comments and the references you put on the screen also. Our next is from Sister Hazel. Over to you, Sister Hazel.
Brother Allen, I just wanted to bring forth a few thoughts back in the early time of the photodrama. Mother was an usherette at the old Allegheny area there, where thousands poured in to see the photodrama. I believe Brother, our pastor, had a great magnitude of audience and work that he did in giving that forth. And I know that Mother and Dad went out as co-porters at that time, and much distribution of that work was carried on. I can't help but think our pastor was a very humble, dear brother, and he said just so much. He didn't designate his words that would in any way say that there would be other work that would go on. He says we must wait in that article, and we must do our part. And then how long it will require to accomplish, he says there, the smiting of the waters is also uncertainty, and how quickly people will be divided, peoples will be divided by the truth is also an uncertainty. So we have to wait and see the continuation of work that will be continued on, but I believe that our pastor certainly would be given the messenger, certainly, of the Laodicean Church to have the work that he started, and I believe it is going to be certainly revealed to us openly as we see things coming to focus. And I'll leave it at that. I appreciate the articles that were put on the computer screen, as well as the reading of the material. Over.
1, 2, 3. Thanks very much, Sister Hazel. And especially appreciate your quoting from 5950. We had pulled that out, and we put that up on the screen as you were reading it. And notice there's three times there where Brother Russell says that there's a period of time involved. The folding of the mantle required a period of time. The concentrating of the forces for smiting required a period of time. The smiting itself required a period of time. And then the dividing of the peoples requires a period of time. Quite interesting quotation there from 5950. Okay, we have our next hand from Brother Leon. Over to you, Brother Leon.
I'd just like to add one point that I should have mentioned earlier, and that is that the smiting of the waters, and I think in Antitype, water is truth. And the truth of the matter, which took place 1914 was the smiting of the papal system. That put in time when the Pope crowns and uncrowns the kings of Europe. That's finished. Never to rise again. Over.
Thanks, Brother Leon. We certainly recognize that the image of Daniel II was smitten in 1914. I think the majority would agree with that statement. And certainly the ten-toe arrangement came to an end as a result of that. Whether the smiting of the image parallels the smiting of the Jordan would be another aspect to the question. But we appreciate all the thoughts presented here. Going back to the, yes, thanks, Brother Jerry, the crumbling of the image is also a process. And so even though it was struck in 1914, we think that the smiting of the image also continues as a process. Going back to the question, to repeat the two parts, see whether we've covered it or not. What is or was the smiting? Has it happened yet, or is it future? And there have been different thoughts presented on this, but I think there is some consensus on the scriptural definition of what it is. That is a concentration of forces of truth presented to the public at large. And then there's a follow-up question there. Who Elisha represents? What his smiting represents? It certainly represents an event after Elijah's smiting. If there is a future powerful message, will it be given by Elisha? And that is after Elijah's gone, by the way, which would seem to indicate that what Elisha does is something that's after the church is complete. A lot of what we're discussing here is kind of a preview in some ways to the convention coming up this weekend in Central Ohio. It will be on this very subject. And so perhaps there'll be additional details. I'm sure there will be additional details brought out at the convention that we can't possibly discuss here in 1 hour's time. So this is kind of just an overview. And Sister Laura mentioned there on the screen, this was her question, and we're glad you submitted it. And some thoughts on the Elisha message. Brother Russell suggests that the great company might give a message to the Jews after the church is gone. And we've got a hand from Brother Merv. Over to you, Brother Merv.
A tape by Brother Ed Lorenz from quite a few years ago. And he places the great company represented by Elisha before they crossed the river, the smiting. And when Elisha came back after he crossed the river, he then puts the ancient worthies up as a representation there. So we have a time sequence shown by that, according to Brother Ed. Over.
In that case, as you've mentioned, we think that the Elisha is a double type, that before the smiting represents great company, after the smiting represents the ancient worthies, but the smiting itself would still seem to be something that the great company would do. The crossing of Jordan itself would seem to represent the death of the great company. And from Sister Cindy, Elisha represents the great company, our foolish virgin class. And in 2 Kings 2:9, there is the request for the double portion, or we would say the firstborn's portion, that Elijah requested. And a good point there, Brother Bud. There's no firm consensus amongst all the brethren on this subject. So we've had a little bit of diversity of thought here, and that shouldn't surprise us. If anything, the diversity of thought in our discussion has been less than what I've heard in other forums. And expanded comments on Songs of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 8, is where there is that's a reference regarding the great company giving a message to the Jews. However, that has an asterisk by it, meaning that was not directly Brother Russell's comment. At any rate, it would seem that there will be something for the great company to do after the church is gone that may very well be involved in their death. We don't know. All right, perhaps we've covered that sufficiently for the time being, and we just want to mention again that we think that there's going to be some additional discussion this weekend at the convention for those that are able to attend the ABSCO convention. It will be broadcast online. I don't think that announcement with the details has come out yet, but should be forthcoming this week. Question number two.